Well, time's going by quick, isn't it? Yeah. My goodness. But I'm excited that we're getting closer to the return of Christ. Amen. I'm really getting excited. I can feel it. I know it. We're getting closer. You can see all the signs around us. I remember when I first got saved, I was in the Air Force. I mentioned this a little bit yesterday. And if you were saved for like a week, people say, oh, what's it like to be a Christian for a week? You know, I mean, you know, that's what it was like. You know, people were getting, you know, coming to the Lord and their lives are being changed. And I think I mentioned the other day that we had, I think I've got this right, 6,000 men got saved in 3 months. It was just a supernatural move of God that God did. Not man, not an organization, God. And he can do anything. He can do anything at any time. And we just need to be ready. And God will use you. He will use you. Amen. Now, who is right here? This young lady. And of course, you know, you can be 60 and be young now. You know, but this young lady here, she showed me a couple of quarters. There's a real move in America against the things of God. Now, I think I mentioned to some that we had our meetings we had a church in Albany. And of course, we met at a hotel in a meeting room. And with COVID, we couldn't meet together. Then they made excuses. We'd drive 100 miles down there. They said, I'm sorry, you can't come in. I said, why don't you tell me? Well, I'm making excuses. And a lady who used to be the manager got a hold of me. And she says, look, things have changed a lot. And they don't want Christian meetings at this place anymore. You can be a witch. That's all right. Yeah, come on in. Yeah, but nothing else. So there's been a real moving away from the things of God. Now, when I was in China, I was a missionary in China with my wife, and we had a church in Hong Kong we pioneered, but we used to go in to mainland China, and we could only spend 2 nights in any one place because it wasn't safe after that, and. I just want to tell you, people would come to the meetings 10 days before I arrived. And I especially met with the three self church leaders. So there's a church in China. It's called the Three Self Church. It's the state church. And they actually have Bible college where they train guys. Now, it's a bit political, you know, and I don't think most of them are saved. But God opened up a door, and I had a chance to speak with these leaders. And what they would do is they would find the ones who were saved or were open to salvation, and they would come. And they would come 10 days before I arrived. And they would stay at an apartment, usually on how many floors up, Christine, would you say? Seven. And there were no elevators, by the way. Amen. But on the top floor, and then they would have a room we'd meet in, and they would have all kinds of locks on the door. But they didn't want anybody know what was going on. And I know one time we were followed by the, what do they call them, Christy? The secret police? I forgot the name now. And so they took off, and we went through a field and all over the place and lost the secret police. And they stopped at a gate and let us out, and they opened it up, put us in, shut it so they couldn't see us. And, it was probably pretty dangerous to come to think about it. But, you know, when you're doing the things of God, it's kind of fun. You know, I thought, I've read books about guys who spent 2 weeks in China. And it's like, I thought, am I missing something here? Anyway, so they would come for 10 days and then we would basically gather together and open in prayer. Because what are you going to do? I'm an Englishman. I mean, I don't speak Chinese, and the Chinese have 52 different dialects, for crying out loud. You know, Mandarin is the main one, Cantonese, but there's a whole bunch of others. And so what are you going to do? You know, so I had interpreter, you know, a good friend of mine came. And I learned that you don't need to speak the language to communicate with people. Communication is more than words. You know, you can tell a lot by when people look at you and the way they speak and how they act. And so we'd open in prayer, and God would speak to, I mean, you got to excuse me if I get a little emotional, but God would speak to us. And sometimes I'd have a vision, or I would have a word, and we would start the meeting. And we would pray, I don't know for how long, I lost track of time, it didn't really matter. But when it was time to start, it was the right time, and it was natural. And I want to tell you, I would share this word the Lord gave me, or share from this vision, and it was like a scroll that would just be unrolled. You know, it was quite amazing. And at the end, people would get saved. These guys gave their life to the Lord. Now they had churches of 2, 3, 4, 5,000 people. In that, one lady, young girl, she was about 25, I think. 24, sorry. Well, I don't know. God forbid. Anyway. Well, they were, all details are important. But anyway, she was about 24. And so what she used to do, she would travel by foot or bicycle or sometimes by these little things from place to place to meet with these people secretly to share the gospel. And she told me, she said, I've given out so much, I don't have anything else left. I need help. I'm wore out. And so we had these people. Now, you got to understand that we were talking about Yod, the revelation of Yod, and how the first step matters. And people thought we were nuts going into China like this. You know, they thought we were crazy. But God had a plan. And it was a time that we'd been through. I'd been through hell. I want to tell you, it was the best of times and the worst of times, bar none. But the best of times was this, that through all that stuff that we went through, God opened the door into China. And at the end, the people responded. People started getting saved. These folks got filled with the Holy Ghost. But here's the thing. What I did with them, they took that and they shared in their wherever they were at. Now, they passed a law that you, in one area, that you couldn't meet, no more than five people could meet together. All right? Sounds pretty radical. And they said, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? I said, hey, God bless you. Who cares? Listen, you got five. So get one person, train one person, and let them share with the other four. And open in prayer. And so they followed the example that we had in China. That what we did, they did. They knew the chances we were taking. And so it began to multiply and multiply. And they told us at one time there were probably hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of people that gave their life to Jesus. And very, very humbling that God could use somebody just like myself because I had a willing heart. It's not about how great you are. It's about the living God. It's about living for Him and doing what you need to do in the good times and the bad times. A lot of times when we went, we'd land in one city and they'd drive us several hours to another city. In case, you know, because of I can't remember their names, the KGB, not that's Russia, whatever the blooming name was, you know. You know, it doesn't matter. But God has a plan. Now, here's the thing. China's a crazy place. But underground, underneath all that, God's working. And people are getting saved. And they're still getting saved. And they're still living for God. And then when the Lord told my wife and I that we needed to come back to America, or I needed to come back to America, and my wife with me, of course, I was shocked when I came back to America. The America that I left was not the America. The America I came back to was not the America I left. I got saved during the Jesus movement, and the presence of God, the power of God, the things that I experienced, they were unbelievable. Now, it was just a religious method, just going through motions. And, oh, don't say that, that makes me angry. Some guy told me this, a very gifted musician. He got angry at me, because I said, God wants to go deeper in your life. I said, you know, you're a great musician, you can play, you can sing, that's great. But God wants to go deeper, and there's things you need to give to God. I don't know what they are, but you need to give them. He got angry. I didn't know that he was smoking dope. I mean, I took over this church. He was there. I didn't know when I left and my wife left. They had a dope party and, you know, parties at the parsonage and getting drunk. Is that right, Mama? I got it right? Yeah. I thought, my goodness gracious, people getting angry at me because I said, you need to live for God. You can't. If you want to, men and women want to live together, then you need to get married. Yeah. What? How dare you? I'm not coming back. I'm leaving. Arrivederci. Because if I read, enjoy it now, because I want to tell you when the Lord comes, people who are immoral don't go to heaven. Homosexuals don't go to heaven. Now, I had two ladies in my church in England, two men that were homosexual, and they came. And they were welcome to come. God bless them. But I tell you what, they heard the gospel and they repented. And I tell you, not only did they repent, but they got delivered. And I tell you something else. What they got delivered from was a vile demonic spirit. And then in Albany, we had a couple of ladies come who are lesbian. And they said they got saved. Nice girls. I said, hey, look, you know, we love you. Well, I'm glad you're here. But, you know, there is no lesbianism in heaven. Now we've got lesbian churches. Well, that's not God. Do we love lesbians? Do we love homosexuals? Absolutely. But if you want to go to heaven, you need to repent and turn from your sin. Because if you don't, you won't be going anywhere. And be sure your sin will find you out. Sin is sin is sin. And the punishment of sin is death and destruction. So we're now living in this place. We're now living in a scenario where God is getting his church ready. He's getting his church ready for his soon return. Now, I've mentioned this. I'm going to keep mentioning this because God's put it in my heart to do so. The tribulation is not for the church. It is not for the church. Let me read you a scripture. You don't have this one, by the way. I forgot to give it to you. It doesn't matter. In the Jewish Bible, the complete Jewish Bible, in fact, it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9, since they themselves kept telling about about the welcome we received from you and how you turned to God from idols to serve the true God, the one who is alive, and to wait for his son Yeshua, whom he raised from the dead, to appear from heaven and to rescue us, listen, quote, quote, and to rescue us from the impending fury of God's judgment. Now, we're not talking about just judgment that we go through that God's dealing with us. We're talking about God's judgment, God's wrath. And God ain't going to put his bride through that kind of a thing. But he is preparing his bride, and he's separating the righteous from the unrighteous. Either you have a heart for God, or you don't have a heart for God. Like I said yesterday, we live for God because we want to live for God. We obey his word because we want to obey his word. And if you just do it because you know I've got to, it's good. That's called legalism. And you will not flourish under legalism. Everybody I know who's legalistic lasts for a period of time, could be days, weeks, months, even years, and then backslides. I have a friend of mine who was a preacher, and the Lord spoke to me, you need to remember this guy, and you need to be there for him in the future. Well, he's a good guy. But you know what? He fell into immorality, and he left, and he's made a mess of his family, he's made a mess of his life, and now he lives in another country. And he's messed up. But I tell you this much, I know this, the Lord told me to be there for him when he wants to repent. And I hope he does. Because we don't give up on people. But we need to live for God because we love the Lord. And because we obey Him. Because we love Him. And we love His Word. Do you love the Word of God? Do you? Do you love God's Word? Will you welcome His Word into your heart? Even though at times He may say things to you that you don't want to hear. That you don't want to know about. And that's going to happen to all of us at some point. Excuse me, at some point or other. Can you say amen?
Amen.
God's going to touch you in areas of your life that you're not going to like. But I tell you what, when you let go, when you repent, you say, Lord, I'm laying this on the altar. And the fire of God comes down and consumes it. You feel really good. Amen. I spoke. And let me read this other scripture to you before I forget. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9. For God has not intended that we should experience His fury. God has not intended that we should experience what? His fury. His wrath. His tribulation. We're talking about the great tribulation. The 7-year tribulation. But that we, now, if you don't want to believe that, I don't care. Live for God. Do what's right. Well, I don't believe we're going to go through the tribulation. Believe what you want, but I won't be there. Okay. But have a good time. Anyway, for God has not intended that we should experience His fury, but that we, now, I'm an Englishman. That's why I can be pretty direct. I make no apologies, but that's how it is. For God has not intended that we should experience His fury, but that we should gain deliverance through our Lord Yeshua, the Messiah. That we should what? Gain deliverance. How? Through Jesus Christ, through our Messiah. Who died on our behalf so that whether we are alive or dead, we may live along with Him. Therefore, what? Encourage each other and build each other up just as you're doing. What is God's intention for the church in the days we're living in? It is to build one another up. To encourage one another. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I think the first sermon I spoke on, I can't remember for sure, but anyway, I think it was the revelation of Yod. You guys are good. I'm even having trouble remembering. Okay, so you remember what Yod is, do you? It kind of looks like a little flame. It's the smallest letter of the Hebrew alphabet, design of it, the symbol. And the letter is the letter Y. And we learned, hopefully you remember this, that when you look at Yeshua, the Hebrew name for Jesus, it begins with a Y. In the Hebrew yod. And so what does it say? It says, here is Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our salvation, who was with God when He created. All things were created through Him and by Him and for Him. He is the Almighty God. And His name starts out meaning the smallest. And so it is a picture of Christ. And He started out born in a stable, for crying out. What, the Almighty God, born in a stable? You've got to be joking. No. One small step. One small step. And what happens? Eventually, He will rule from Jerusalem with His bride for 1,000 years. And then Hallelujah. There's a lot of things coming after that, let me tell you, that I want to be a part of. Anybody else want to be a part of that?
Yeah.
Just checking. Jerusalem is spelt in Hebrew with a Y. Jerusalem. All of these things have that same yod, that the smallest symbol, the smallest, well, the letter, I suppose, the smallest thing. But it has great meaning. And so now, we are disciples of Jesus Christ. And the same thing is true for us. And so what happens on the day of Pentecost? This little yod looks like a, we said, like a flame. A flame of fire. And what happens on Pentecost? Well, here's all these here Jewish guys, and they weren't the prominent dudes. They weren't the leaders. They weren't the important guys. You know, the, yes, I'm so-and-so, and hi, my name's Biden. My name is... Anyway, we won't... Anyway, moving right along, God forgive me, amen. you know what I'm saying here. So, here's the Holy Ghost comes. Tongues of fire separate and rest on each of those ordinary, everyday fishermen, tax collectors, and they're filled with the Holy Ghost. They were the smallest of the small. Wasn't anything great about them. They're just everyday people. But what does God do? He gets a hold of these guys and he causes them to preach the gospel message with power, followed by signs and wonders and miracles. I love that. I want that. It's horrible, the things that have gone on in America, but you know, I'm really glad. Because finally, I'm seeing true believers being raised up. I'm seeing them raised up, finally. And now we're seeing not only being raised up, but we're seeing God separate the wheat from the chaff. And that's a good thing, not a bad thing. And now these small group of men, they preached, and they preached to other Jewish people, and then they preached to the Gentiles. And they received that word with joy. And the baton of the gospel was passed to the Gentile people. And for all these years, the Gentiles have preached the gospel message. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And we've done what? But now, we're in this period of time. Things are coming to an end. The church age is coming to an end. And that baton is beginning to be passed over to the Jews. Jews are starting to get saved and filled with the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
And preach the gospel. Amir Sephardi, I don't know if you hear him. What a great guy. You can go on Telegram and do Behold Israel or Amir Sephardi. You'll find him. He puts news updates every day of what's going on. And by the way, I got an update today about Iran. They now have increased their uranium, so they now have enough enriched uranium for a whole bunch of bombs. And what is, by the way, what does Iran have to say about that? Well, their plan is to destroy Israel and to destroy America.
But we want to go over and give them money to help them.
Are you joking me? We serve a big God. Our time is almost done. The tribulation that we're going through, the judgment, the difficulties we're going through now, I said, is to prepare the church for the bride. To prepare the bride for the bridegroom. Amen. To separate the wheat from the chaff. That's where we're at. And the great tribulation, when it comes, it's not far away. That will be a time for the Jewish people. God's going to use the tribulation to remove their blindness that Christ is the Messiah. Their blindness, all those things will be removed, and then they're going to come to know the Lord. And during that period of time, the gospel is going to be preached. We're going to have a prophet, two prophets that ever saw death, preach the gospel. And then the next 3.5 years, there will be an angel, but the Jewish people will preach it as well. But then, if you don't get saved, you're going to get beheaded. If you get saved, you're going to, you know, it'll cost you a whole lot more. What would you give for eternal life? What would you give? Everything. There's nothing in this world worth hanging on to. Now, I have a bit of a battle now because over the last 72 years, I've gained quite a few stuff that I had a container from England come over to America, from Australia, from Hong Kong that I had, you know, because I never intended. Anyway, I started over. So I now have all these things and the stuff I've picked up in the meantime. I have a 3-car garage and I can hardly get my car in. And my wife says, you've got to let go of this stuff. But I got this in New Zealand when I was in New Zealand. And let go. And the Lord says, why don't you just, you know, listen to your wife for a change? She knows. I said, well, yeah, she listens to me every now and then. We can work this out. But it's hard to let go. So I told one, okay, if I find people who are in need, I'll give them the stuff. For a price. Sometimes it's hard to let go of stuff. But we need to let go. And you battle all these things, don't you? But in the end, you know, you got to just let go and let God have his way. And it ain't easy, you know. It ain't easy. But we can do it. I want to just touch upon this, too. I also spoke to an Aliyah. Did I get it right? Finally. Now I'm almost blooming done. Aliyah. Thank you. Amen. Finally. So Aliyah, we said, meant what? The ascent. It means to go up. And you read about Jesus, and it says he was making, in the Hebrew, and the ascent to Jerusalem. Everybody went to Jerusalem, and Jerusalem was on a mountain. It still is, back, you know, high hill mountain. They call it a mountain, Mount Zion. And so you make the ascent. And yet, when you get saved, when you receive Jesus as your Savior, you experience Aliyah as well. You start that upward ascent. And God begins to work in your heart. He begins to work in your life. Can you say amen? Amen. Aliyah. Aliyah. Anyway. Yes, thank you. So look, you check it out yourself and you find out. So we're on this journey. And God says, come on up. Come on up now. And he's dealing with our lives, but we're making that upward journey. And going up is not always easy, but the view gets pretty darn good the higher you go. You know, to let go and to let God have his way is it's a hard thing, but it's a wonderful thing. So we're on this journey. And you know what? You know, the Lord may come back and call us all, take us up in the rapture, or we may be taken up before that, you know, by when we're, you know, we may die and the dead in Christ rise first, and then those who are still alive should be taken up. But the important things, that's where we're headed. And when you leave, when the Jewish people would leave their homeland, man, they were broken a little bit. It was hard saying goodbye to their neighbors, their friends, their old home, their old lifestyle. That wasn't easy. And they get on a plane, and then they would encourage each other. And pretty soon they'd be smiling and rejoicing. But when they land in Israel, they get off the plane and they're dancing and kissing the ground, and it's a wonderful thing. And I tell you, that's a picture of the church. We're here to encourage one another. Now, I'm sure you can find things. One of my friends when I lived in Australia said, yeah, Chris, he said, we can always tell when a British airline lands, a British Airways plane lands. I said, how? He said, well, when they turn the engines off, you can still hear the whining. Had a little hard time seeing after that, but no, I'm just kidding. But there's truth in that, you know. We all can be whiners sometimes, or critical. Amen? We can all find fault with one another. You don't have to look far.
Oh, look at the way he cuts his hair.
There's always things you can find fault with, but we have to get over that and give it to the Lord and find the good and speak the good. You know how I've been learning to do that? You know what's really helped me to do that? The Lord spoke to me once years ago after I got married, and he says, Chris, you start telling your wife every day how much you love her. Well, I said, I don't feel like I love her right now. He says, you tell her anyway. I said, well, she's kind of ticked me off. He said, doesn't matter. You tell her you love her. You tell her how beautiful she is, how pretty she is. I said, what? And so, but he was teaching me how to speak the word, how to be an encourager with my wife. So I did. You know, and I realized, I said, son of a gun, she sure looks at herself in the mirror a lot. So that tells me that women, you know, they must have a tough time. You know, they need that assurance that they're pretty. And I thought, well, I wonder why we ain't seen this before. We're men, right? I mean, it doesn't matter to me. You know. Yeah, and she'd change her clothes 25 times. So how do I look now?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
But all of a sudden, it became natural. And I noticed as I'd speak these words, I kind of felt good inside. And I know she started to glow. And so now I always make it a point to tell her every day. First thing I say is, how pretty you are and how much I love you. Is that right, Mrs. Davis? Yeah, you're very pretty. What was my sermon going to be? Doesn't matter. Anyway, today, and don't worry, I've allowed myself time for this. I'll be done in 2 hours at least. Don't get nervous. You'll be home in time for evening meal. Oh, we have an evening service, so we just stay here. Anyway. I want to speak briefly on the mystery of the revealer and the restrainer. Now, this word, when God gave it to me, it had an enormous impact upon me. And I honestly believe that this portion of scripture we're going to read in a few minutes is something you need to write down to hang on to, because it speaks about the time that we're now living in. So if you want to know kind of what's going on, this passage of scripture we're going to look at is going to help you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. That's what we're going to read in a few minutes. And so, I don't know if you've noticed or not, did you ever share about the coins? I asked you, didn't I? You never. Would you like to share real quick before I forget again? Yeah, so the new, I don't know if you heard that or not, but she said, on the quarters that came out, the new quarters that came out in 2017, she said the George Washington, is it, would face In God We Trust, but the new ones, they face the opposite direction. So there's been a real move. Oh, yes. And on the other side, there's a rainbow. Okay. So if there ever was a perilous time that was full of deception, then I want to tell you, we've entered into it. We have really entered into it. And the good news is that an extraordinary amount of corruption has been and continues to be uncovered. Thank God. The corruption now being manifested in our nation is without precedent and is mind-boggling to say the least. Right is now wrong. Wrong is now right. Up is now down. Down is now up. And that's just the beginning. That's nuts. And people in the political realm who should have been prosecuted, nothing. And those who are people doing what's right, yeah, they want to, you know, impeach. It's nuts. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 9, you can read that, my old son.
But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people turn away.
Amen.
For this sort are those who creep into households and make captive of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, for the folly will be the manifest to all, as theirs also was.
Amen. So let me tell you, I've often wondered if that was written to the people in the church. Because it speaks about those who have a form of godliness. And it's been my experience, especially since I've been back, first came back to America from China, that that could be the case. I have been flabbergasted by some of the things that I've seen, especially recently. It's just insane. It's insane, to say the least. By the way, this flashback in my mind, Yod represents, I think I've got this right, the number 10. Is that right? Yod represents the number 10? Yeah, the number 10. And I wanted to share this, and I'm glad I remembered. Because the number 10 has to do with worship. It has to do with standing, you know, not just like we did here, just raising hands. That's part of it. But worshiping God in our everyday lives. Our lifestyle needs to be a worship to God. It represents doing what's right. It represents standing for what's right. And so in this point in time that we're now in, the church needs to hear the word of God, receive it, apply it, even though there's sacrifice involved that can be hard, as a worship to the living God and as an example to others. That's where we're at right now. And we talked about the Shemitah. We're in the last of the 7 years of this. The Shemitah is ending. And we said it's the 10th Shemitah since Israel has been a nation, which is quite significant. And so I sense in my spirit, now that may be just me, I don't know, but God is speaking to the church, encourage one another. Live for me, worship me, do what's right, because the time is coming to an end. Secondly, and I think it's worth mentioning, is that the number 11, and we shared this, I think, yesterday as well, but the number 11, you can Google this. That's where I found it when I was here. It says the number 11 represents, the Jewish number 11 represents, anybody remember?
Chaos.
Disorder. Judgment. Isn't that crazy? So the next Shemitah will begin in Rosh Hashanah, which will be September. And one wonders for that next 7-year period, it will represent chaos, disorder, judgment, which really sounds like the tribulation. Now, it may not be, maybe, but take a note. And while before I forget, the number 12 was also interesting. Does anybody remember what the number 12 represented? God's order, God's authority, God's kingdom, God's rule. And we also know that after that 7 years of tribulation, that Christ returns, Jesus, the Messiah returns with his bride to rule in Jerusalem for 1,000 years. So I thought that was interesting. And I want to mention that again to you because I think it's worth noting what's going on and where we're at. So the scripture we read a few minutes ago in 2 Timothy virtually describes where our society has now arrived, especially within the walls of Congress and the Capitol building. Consider the so-called reverend who some time ago, or recently I suppose, prayed an opening blessing in Congress that he ended with amen and a woman. I thought, I'd love to have been there. I think I'd gone up and slapped him. No, just kidding. Maybe not. Have these folks lost their minds? It seems to me they've lost their minds. In the scriptures, amen literally means I agree with that, but it has nothing to do with gender. This reverend is not a Bible-believing and Bible-obeying born-again believer, but rather a crowd-pleasing counterfeiter of the truths of God's word who desires the praises and the acceptance of the world more than doing what is right in the presence of the Almighty God. Recently, the following words flashed into my mind like a lit-up billboard that proclaimed the revealer and the restrainer. Everything's being revealed. So let's take a look at our text here. We're almost done, don't worry. I'm not really worried at all. Actually, I've rather enjoyed being here. You guys are like, I've said this to a lot of folks, it's like a little oasis in the middle of nowhere. I knew I'd rouse you up somehow. Didn't take much. No, it's a great place. And we really look forward to being here, by the way. Okay, this is the scripture that I want you to remember. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. You need to write this down, tattoo it. No, don't tattoo it. But 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Now listen. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him. Now, we're speaking about the rapture, right? The taking of the church. We ask you not to be soon shaken in your mind or troubled. Okay, so with all the things that are going on right now, don't get troubled. Amen. Don't get shaken in your mind. It's going to be okay. God's in control. Either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. Now, there is a great falling away today in the world. People are falling away from the truth, from the gospel, and churches are closing. It's quite amazing. But at the same time, God's moving in hearts and lives. It's kind of strange that the two things would happen together. But there's a great falling away. Now, that word falling away comes from the Greek word apostasy. Now, the word apostasy comes from two words, apostasia. Apo, A-P-O, literally means to depart from. Stasia literally means the standard. So when we say apostasy, we're saying a departing from the standard. Sound familiar right now with what's going on? So in other words, when you're talking about apostasy, you're talking about people departing from those things that God spoke into being. And God said, a man shall marry a woman. Amen? A man shall marry a woman. Not a man marry a man. He didn't say that. But now what's going on is the opposite of what God said is being done. The Bible says what? Go forth and multiply and fill the earth. Today, they're saying what? Go forth and depopulate the earth and don't multiply, but demultiply. Kill your babies. Sounds like Moloch worship to me. Baal. Do you see what I'm saying? So more and more now, we're seeing a departure. Hey, it's okay to steal. As long as you don't go over $1,000. I need to have some kind of reparation because, you know, being in America hasn't gone quite the way I expected. So you guys need to pay me. What kind of nonsense is that? It's okay to, in Portland, they've gone nuts. I think in Seattle, too. Yes. And a bunch of other cities, you know, rioting. Oh, it's OK to riot. It's OK to burn people's buildings down. People have worked hard to establish a business. It's OK to smash their windows and steal everything that they have and burn their buildings down. What kind of nonsense is that? But that's the new standard. And it isn't God's standard. Then it's the devil's standard. And the thief comes to what? Kill, steal and destroy. In other words, what I'm seeing is the characteristics of evil, the characteristics of the devil. I'm seeing the characteristics of the Antichrist. The word anti means opposite. Christ means the Messiah, of course. So everything that Jesus stands for and God stands for, the Antichrist stands for the opposite. So his reign, his rulership is already starting to take place in the world. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. So we see the apostasy, which we're seeing now. Is that, am I losing it? Would you say we're seeing this departure from the standard now in our world? Not just in America, but all over? I got an update today from, I used to preach a lot in Sweden. In fact, I almost moved there at one time. And now it's full of Muslims, and they're all out in a field, a thousand of them, you know, making some sacrifice and worshiping whoever. I thought, what the heck is, that's okay. And, you know, people want to do that, that's entirely up to them. But you can't live for God. You know, that's not all right. So we're seeing all these things begin to happen. And the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or all that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now think about that for a few minutes. The Bible says what? Know ye not, ye are the temple. You're the temple of God. Raise your hand if you're a temple of God. Okay, keep your hand up for a few minutes. Anybody not saved? Okay, know ye not, you're the temple of God. God dwells within us. And where God dwells, there's righteousness. There's holiness. There's the glory of God. Can you say amen? Amen. That's what's there. The third temple, someone said to me, oh, you know, the third temple's going to be built. And I said, yeah, you know, they found all these. Yeah, they've got everything all ready to go to build it. But I could care less about the third temple being built. Do you know why? Because you know who's going to dwell there? The Antichrist. You know, I'm not going to get excited about, oh, we're going to build the third temple for the Antichrist. I don't want to know about it. And that happens after we're gone. So they can collect all they want, but I give a monkey's uncle about the third temple. That's the English phrase. At least it wasn't. Anyway, so do you see what I'm saying? What I'm trying to do is paint a picture of where we're at to encourage you. To be the people God's called you to be. And as all these things, listen, I share with the ladies. Now, I did my first ladies meeting in 50 years. And I have to admit that I actually enjoyed it. I will be back next. No, I won't. But, you know, Pastor Keith was nice enough to sit with me, so I didn't feel so bad. But I share with the ladies about a time I was in my living room. It's kind of a sunken room. And it was cloudy and dark outside. It wasn't like it was daytime, but it wasn't bright. And all of a sudden, the whole place filled with yellow light. Just filled with a bright yellowish light. It was incredible. And my wife has confirmed this. Is this right, Mama? Thank God she was there. And I looked up in my spirit. I saw a portal, and in that portal was a lion staring at me. Kind of freaked me out a bit. And he spoke to me. The lion spoke to me and said, "I have dispatched my angel, and my angels have been sent forth to protect and to provide for my people. Share this with my people. Let them know that not to be concerned about those things that are coming, because I am with them and my angels are going to protect them and I will make provision for them." Now, my wife, Atea, if I say anything wrong, she's going to let me know. She'll probably come up here and slap me. No, she probably wouldn't, but... Well, maybe she would. Now, the thing is, the phone rang. It was my son on the phone driving home. He says, Dad, I said, what? He says, go outside, look at the sun. I said, why? He says, just go out there right now. So I had my phone with me because I was speaking to him. So I went outside and I had some pictures that I think you've posted one somewhere. I'm not sure. Your pastor, and it's right there, but they've posted it. So you can see Retha, and she'll. But anyway, I went outside and I looked up in the sky. There was smoke in the sky from some of the forest fires. And the sun was, you know, just covered with the smoke. And as I looked up, it turned into a portal in the sky with a lion staring at me. I mean, are you serious? Now, thank God I had my phone and I had a camera in the phone. I took a picture because no one would ever believe me. I didn't have a hard time believing that what I saw was real. But it does look like, would you say it looks like a lion? Yeah. And so the Lord said, now, do not forget what I've said to you, and you share it with people. And that's why I hope you don't mind, but I took a little extra time to share that with you guys to encourage you. Because I don't know what we're coming into, but I know God's with us. And He's going to make provision, so don't be afraid.
Well, there's going to be food shortages. Ukraine wheat fields are being burnt down by the Russians.
The meat processing plants are being destroyed over this nation. Truckers aren't trucking because of the gas price of fuel. Who knows? Well, you know, hey, those things are bad, but those things are going to happen. But God is our provider. When I was first saved, I got out of the Air Force and I came back and I went back to England. And a bunch of us, three guys, we got a house and we decided we'd reach out to the kids in this neighborhood, in this village. And we did. And they would come over and, you know, we would have, you know, tea and coffee, tea, not coffee. And we made, I think it was spaghetti or something, chili. I think it was chili. And it doesn't matter. And so, but that particular day, all these kids came, about 25 of them. I said, how are we going to, they wanted chili. And so I said, okay, let's believe God. We prayed, oh, God bless this food and multiply it. We gave chili to every single person and there was chili left over. Now, I just remember that, but I've never, that's an event that will live in eternity in my heart. If God can do it back then in 1974, that's when that happened, because, anyway, we were, anyway, that happened actually in 1974, because I got out of the Air Force in 1974, and anyway, He can do that now. Don't limit God. Be excited. Anyway, I'm going to close here in just a few minutes. So let me just move on a little bit more. I don't know where I left off. Okay. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things, and now you know what is restraining, that He may be revealed in His own time? Only when His time comes will He be revealed. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. It's been away, but now it's increasing. And I don't know if you've noticed, time seems to be going by faster. But there's an acceleration in evil in the world. Holy cow, the things that are... you can't watch films anymore. It's just weird. Okay. And now restrictions will do so until He is taken out of the way. And only He who now restrains will do so until He's taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed. The lawless one cannot be revealed until the one holding him back is removed. Did you hear what I said? The Antichrist cannot be revealed. Now we know it's getting close because there's an acceleration of evil. But the Holy Spirit's still holding him back. But the time's going to come that God's going to remove him. And then the Antichrist will have full reign and rule. But when he goes, we go. If the Holy Spirit goes out, we're going with him. I ain't staying. Well, Chris, you may be leaving some things behind. Care less. Let him go. I don't. Except, you know why the rapture happens in 1/32nd of a second? Because we don't have time to think about all the things we have. Right? I mean, God's maybe used that for me particularly, but we don't have time to think about it. Oh, that coin that your great-grandfather gave you, you know. And anyway. It happens in 1/32nd of a second. We're gone. And you know what? Who cares? And when we're gone, we won't even think about all that stuff. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to doing some rejoicing. I'm going to have a good time. So when the Holy Spirit goes, we go. So we know they're getting ready for a new world order. We know It's all over the place. The devil never does anything without letting us know. The signs are all over the place. We just don't always notice it. And if you watch movies or TV shows even, you always, almost always see somewhere a skull, which is a symbol of the occult. If not that, you'll see a thing with horns. But I tell you, usually a skull. And it's gone on for years. And we've never really bothered with it. All right, let me finish this and then we're done. Okay. And then the Lord, don't look at me, I feel guilty already.
Look over there. Don't, okay.
Help me. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. Now, when he talks about the brightness of his coming, what is that talking about? The second coming, when Christ, the Messiah, returns with his church at the end of the 7-year tribulation. Are you with me? The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. And with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them a strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Do you know what the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah was? Self-indulgence. Self-indulgence is the beginning of all the other stuff. And usually homosexuality quickly follows. They will be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So it talks about a great delusion, a great deception. We're seeing the beginnings of it now. People are deceived. I mean, my goodness gracious. It's insane. But you know that already. And so, let's see this. This is my sermon book. Last page. Amen. And I'm going to close with this. well, maybe. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. Therefore, pay careful attention to how you conduct your life. Pay careful attention to how you conduct your life. Live wisely, not unwisely. Use your time well. For these are evil days. So don't be foolish, but try to understand what the will of the Lord is. Don't get drunk with wine, because it makes you lose control. Don't take drugs for that matter either, or smoke dope or whatever. Instead, keep on being filled with the Spirit. Sing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs to each other. Sing to the Lord. Make music in your heart to Him. Always give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Yeshua, the Messiah. I can't tell you guys enough how when my wife and I came here, the smiles and the people hugged us and so on. It just was life building. You know, we've been in a place where people are just nasty. You know, they just don't care. But when you come to an oasis like this, oh, it makes all the difference. I wasn't feeling that well, but since I've been here, I'm starting to feel better again. It's true. And by the way, when you come together, I used to pray for the sick all the time. But I want to tell you something. When we gather together like this during the praise and worship and the word coming, people get healed. You may have had pain when you came in, but it's gone now. You may have had a need in your life, but God's going to meet it. Because He's God. Because it's the Word that's coming forth that delivers you. Okay, I'm going to do two more. Then I close. Okay. So I'm actually really going to do it this time. I'm going to close with the following two scriptures that gives us some great advice of how to live in this current world and in this current state, and how can we be how we can be an encouragement to other people. Luke 21:28.
But when these things begin to happen, you must rise up and you must lift up your heads at once, because your redemption, procured by the payment of ransom, is drawing near.
Amen. When these things begin to happen, you must what? Rise up. Be excited. Look forward. We have hope. You and me, we have hope. Because our ransom was procured through the blood of Jesus. Isaiah.
But the people of God will sing a song of joy, like the songs at the holy festivals. You'll be filled with joy, as when the flutist leads a group of pilgrims to Jerusalem, the mountain of the Lord, to the rock of Israel. And the Lord will make his majestic voice heard. He will display the strength of his mighty arm. It will descend with devouring flames, with cloudbursts, thunderstorms, and huge hailstones.
Amen. We serve a powerful God. Can you say amen? Yeah. A powerful God. Jesus is coming back soon. He's coming back soon. The signs are all here. They're all here. I can't think of any that aren't. And I've been studying this for donkey's years. Right? Donkey's years. But I'm seeing it for the first time. And I must say, I feel rather encouraged. So be encouraged. Look forward. Live for God. Listen to Him. Encourage others. Sing for joy. Well, the other rest of the world, people say, what are you so happy about? Jesus is coming. Amen. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed, in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for those that you're touching right now. You're healing their bodies. People who have had headaches and pressure in their heads being released even now. People with pain in their bodies and stiffness in their bodies are being healed even now. People have been downhearted and feeling kind of depressed and heavy in their hearts and burdened, and now are being delivered, set free. Lord, and I release that joy into their hearts and into their lives. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing, and I thank you for what you're about to do. And I thank you, Lord, that you have everything under control. And I thank you for speaking to us and helping us. And I wonder, as our heads are still bowed and our eyes are closed, is there anybody here that you don't know Jesus as your Savior? That you don't, you know what? I'm going to give you an opportunity. You don't have to go to hell. You don't have to go through this, these things that are coming upon the earth. You don't have to go through that. You can join us. I wonder how many people here would say, Pastor Chris, would you pray for me? I want to receive Jesus, my Savior. I want to make heaven as my home. I want life and eternal life. How many here, anyone at all, quickly before we close, I want to give you opportunity. Slip your hand up and hold it above your head and say, please pray for me. Anyone? Don't be afraid. Amen. But if you're here, I'm going to give you one last chance. Lift your hand, hold it above your head, and I'll pray with you. I count it a privilege to pray for you. Amen. Right now, while the Spirit of God is moving, God is touching people. There's people here that are being healed. They're being set free from heaviness inside. Some folks have been struggling with some things. I don't know what it is fully, but it's like a heaviness within you. And the Lord's touching you and He's releasing you even while I speak. Maybe He's even bringing healing to you. Maybe pain's gone. I don't know what it is, but there's some things that God's doing amongst the congregation right now. If that's you, slip your hand up and hold it above your head. God bless you. I see that hand. Anyone else? I see that hand. Anyone else? I see that hand. Others. Amen. Anyone else? Amen. Thank you for that. God's moving. I'm telling you, the Lord's moving in this place. And there's something new beginning. I'm telling you, there's something new beginning. It's going to explode in the very near future. Is there anyone else? Anyone else? Quickly. All right. Hallelujah. Now, if God spoke to you in some way and encouraged you in some way, you need to have that sealed to your life. So quickly, just hold your hand up and say, Lord, seal these things. Come on, you spoke to me. I thank you for your word. Amen. I see all these hands, many, many hands. Amen. Hallelujah. God loves you. God cares for you. Lord, we thank you. Seal these things to our lives. Help us to continue to be an encouragement to each other. And everyone said, amen. Hallelujah. Now, very quickly, there were those who God touched and is healed. If there's something you can share and you're willing to encourage others, would you just come real quick and just share with the people what God's done for you just now? I don't want to embarrass anybody. Anyone at all? Would you be willing to come up? Okay. Do you have the mic there, my old son?
Really quick before we head out, when I was at work last week, I'm usually pretty good with, you know, safety and the precautions that we have to do at work because we do a lot of heavy lifting and stuff. And I usually don't really get hurt at work. But recently I had an issue like on my right leg, kind of in this area. I don't know if it was a nerve or something, but it would hurt when every step I took. I don't even know what that is. And I don't feel it anymore. Like, it's completely gone. So I thank God for that. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Hey, thanks for coming up. This guy's got a real anointing on his life, and it's going to increase. So you guys be encouraged. Amen. Reith, come on up. Is it Reitha or Reith or Wrath? Wrath?
No, Wrath. It's Reitha.
Oh, Reitha.
But people call me Reith.
Oh, thank you.
Whatever. Just anyhow.
Glad you're smiling.
It's just it's a little thing, but ever since a kid, whenever there was like bad weather roll in, it would affect my sinuses. However, lately I had an ear problem for like 3 months, and they put a tube in several weeks ago. So since then, when the weather rolls in, like yesterday was clear, and then overnight we had the clouds move in. So I woke up this morning, and since the ear tube, I've had trouble with headaches whenever the clouds come. So I woke up this morning with my head just pounding. It just felt kind of tight, and it's only been since the tube was put in. But the Lord touched it during service, and it's gone.
Amen. Isn't that lovely? Huh? Isn't that lovely? We serve a good God, don't we? God bless you.
So I guess some of you know that in March I had to have an emergency life-saving surgery. And I went to the hospital and I had no circulation at all in my left leg. Although the foot was still kind of pink and warm. And I had been sitting at home for a week thinking it was sciatica, and it was just poor circulation. The doctor did surgery. It was 8 hours. And they said at one point he was just standing there just picking out pieces of clotted blood vessels. Ugh. That I had three major arteries, and they said I might die during surgery or they would have to amputate way up high. But out of three main arteries, two of them were blocked, and they just were solid concrete. He said, there's no fixing that. Well, God's going to fix it, I know, given time. But, you know, he said human can't fix it. My third main artery had 5 blood clots. And they said one blood clot was in my abdominal aorta, and it kept circling. And when it would circle, it would spit off blood clots. They'd never seen anything like it in their life. So they were able to remove that and all the other blood, all the other five blood clots that were in my leg. I had one in my groin, behind my knee, and my calf, on the top of my foot. And so they were saying, the doctor told me at the end of surgery, we're going to have to amputate. And all of a sudden, the blood just went whoosh down my leg, all the way to my foot. So they didn't amputate. And so I had a lot of outpatient surgery, but I had three churches. I was so blessed. Three churches, four pastors, family and friends praying. And I know it was the prayers that saved my life and my leg. And I wanted to take this opportunity to thank you, because I really felt this church's prayers. I mean, physically.
Amen.
Felt it. That's never happened before, but I physically felt it. And I still had neuropathic damage in this one foot. They said probably because I sat suffering in pain for 6 days thinking it was stupid me. Thinking it was sciatica. Well, there was a lot of pain. But during this service, there is no pain. I still have sensation.
Amen.
I still have weird sensations, but there's no pain. And the pain was what caused me not to be able to walk very much. 15, 20 minutes was my max. So now I'm sure I can walk a lot more.
Amen.
Thank you.
Is she healed?
Yeah, she needs some further healing.
You need further healing?
Yeah.
Just the weird sensations.
Okay. Can we do that together?
Pray.
In Jesus' name, Lord, we plead your blood over our sister right now. We command the blood to flow through her body normally. We command every blockage to be removed. Lord God, these nerves to function normally in Jesus' name. Or all difficulty in her body to go. Lord, we speak healing and wholeness and restoration. Devil, you're a liar. We cast out the spirits of inheritance in the name of Jesus. We cast out the spirit of death and destruction in the name of Jesus. And we speak healing and wholeness. And we thank you that you are the God of miracles, that you are the God who brings healing to us. And we thank you, Lord, for what you're doing even now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
The Lord told me it was going to be completely healed by the end of today.
Amen. All right. Was there anyone else who got healed you'd like to share real quick? Anyone else? Just lift your hand. Anyone? Okay. I think, well, there you go, Mr. Keith. What time do you guys normally get done? Half hour ago, yeah. Well, it's all my fault. Listen, I'm sorry to take a little bit longer, but you know what? I just felt that what I shared was something the Lord wanted me to share with you. And I don't think time really matters when that happens.
Amen.
And
good.
So please forgive me, but God loves you. We need to be praying as well for people in Iran. There's a tremendous move of God in Iran. Ukraine, for the Ukrainian people especially. The things that they're going through, and even for China, that God, actually the Chinese are praying for America right now. Did you know that? Yeah.
Praise God. Thank you, brother. We appreciate you. Let's all stand. We'll have a word of prayer and we'll head out. Okay. Tonight we'll be back at 6 o'clock. It won't be 6:30, but it'll be 6 o'clock tonight. Hopefully you can come, bring a friend with you. And Father, we just thank you for everything you've done today, Holy God. We just thank you that you've been with us, Lord. You're so faithful and so good. Lord, we just rejoice in your goodness today, Lord, as your goodness surrounds us, Father. We just pray, Lord, a hedge of protection around every heart, every mind, every person here, God. As we go our separate ways, Lord, we ask for your hand of protection. In Jesus' name, amen.